Okay, thank you so much for joining us. Today is the 28th of June, 2022, and we want to thank Mr. Jake Wyman very much for Torah enjoyment, and we're continuing our quest for bitachon. And did you ever get hit by a positive lightning bolt? Well, that happened to me this week, and I was suddenly struck by a certain fact, and it put everything into perspective. Until now, we were looking at what my Rosh Hashiva likes to call the trees in the forest. We were zeroing in on specific challenges and difficulties that people face, specifically David HaMelech, and how we're supposed to process these and look at them and move forward, even if we fall. It struck me that I could do even better than that because I could alter my comprehensive view on challenges. And if I do that, that's like looking at the forest instead of the trees. I could change the whole perspective, and then I'm more prepared for anything that comes my way, rather than saying to myself, if I face something challenging, I'll look at it this way, I'll view it this way, I'll trust in Hashem. Wait a minute, I can take everything to the next level. Let me explain. A few makoros that you might be familiar with, you probably are. First of all, what does it say in Maseches Avos? In the fifth parak, how many times was Avram Avinu challenged by Hashem? How many tests did he have?
N.
Says Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 challenges, ten tests, and what were the results? Amad Bekulam. He stood up through all of them, and then the Mishnah says Lo Adia Kamachi Baso Shal Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom, to make known how much is the love, the endearment of Avram Avinu. What is this love? Is it the love of Hashem to him or him to Hashem? Obviously, a simple explanation is it shows how much he loved Hashem. He was so devoted to Hashem that he did everything and he made it through every single challenge. But there's another explanation. It's the Meiri. He's a Rishon. He says the love is the love that Hashem had to Avram Avinu. Because if Hashem is giving him a hard time, that shows how precious he is. And he's constantly testing him and he's upgrading his performance by giving him these challenges and difficulties. But there's more than that. He's showing people that Avram Avinu is Yirei Hashem, he's Yirei Elohim, and he's perfect in his midos, he's always working on himself, and he's a mo-face, the Meiri says. He's an example, he's a wondrous example for all the generations because of his endurance and his tolerating of all these challenges and difficulties that come his way. Sometimes people say, I'm going to make an example out of you. Well, there's a positive aspect to that. Hashem makes an example out of Avram Avinu. In fact, the Cholos HaLevavos says, we know it's brought in Sfarim, that one of the reasons people suffer is to inspire others. I might be the person, you might be the person who goes through something that might be challenging, and you still remain steadfast in your Avas Hashem, your Avodas Hashem, your consistency, and then people say, wow, that's remarkable. Look at that person went through, and the person is still davening with Kamana, the person is still getting up in the morning early to serve Hashem, the person is still doing chesed. You might be the example. And you know what? Hashem only does it to people whom he knows can handle it and would treasure the opportunity. That is a privilege. So maybe that might be what's happening. So when I think about this, this gives me a warm feeling inside. It's a very warm feeling. In fact, this reminded me of a Gemara in Shabbos that most people know about. It's in Daf Pei Ches. It says, a person who smeach b'yisurim, smeachim b'yisurim. It's a list of other midos. But a person who smeach, rejoices. Now, let's reflect on this for a minute. I said to myself, there are two ways to look at it. If anything comes my way that's challenging, I'm going to work through it. I'm going to tolerate it. I'm going to move on after I fall, if I fall, chas v'shalom. That's one way to look at it. But there's a better way, the next level. The next level is, no, I am going to rejoice. I'm going to celebrate challenges that come my way. So make them be sure. In other words, this is an all-encompassing attitude. It's an all-inclusive view, a perspective, an outlook about challenges that have come my way, that are coming my way, and that will come my way. So if I espouse this attitude, so make them be sure. What does the pasuk say? It was in the Shiras Devorah. We all know the pasuk, Va'ohavav, those who love Hashem, kitzeis Hashem esbigvuraso. They're as powerful and fierce in Avodas Hashem as the sun coming out in its full strength. So I said to myself, you know what? I have been empowered to change my attitude. I can actually alter my outlook. I once saw a poster. It said, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." When I remembered this Gemara, I said to myself, this is the first day of the rest of my life. I don't have to suffer from suffering. If things come my way, I am in charge of how I react. And we're going to prove that from many sources now. If I have this all-encompassing attitude, I'm safe from falling in my mind. Because you know what? I'm the only person who has the choice. I'm the only one who decides how I'm going to process and assimilate whatever happens to me. There's nobody else who can violate that right. It's what's called, an unalienable right. I have that right to react the way I want to, and nobody can stop me. Smeich can be assumed. I can make up ahead of time. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to welcome the challenge. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Some things are hard to do. That's too hard, isn't it? How can a person be rejoicing? David and Mel, they all cried until they couldn't stop crying. Okay, if it happened, it happened. But David HaMelech, I'm sure, embraced the attitude that he's going to do the best he can with anything that comes his way. That was the best he could do in that case. But what I need to do is, I need to make up in my mind, I will do the best I can to rejoice. I will be happy. I will not just tolerate it. It's the next level. It's making be Yisurim. Now, what Yisurim are we talking about? Remember we talked about Yisurim last time? Let's redefine them. We look in Maseches Kedushin in the last Mishnah. Again, it says the Torah Mishamartel Mikolra. Torah, yes, protects a person from every evil. B'narusa, when a person is young, b'nosenes lo achris b'tikva b'ziknusa, it gives a person an end, something to look forward to, something to hope for in his old age. But what does it protect us from? It protects us, as it says in the Mishnah, and this is Chazara, Kisha Adam Bali Day Choli, when a person comes into the hands of illness, Chas V'Shalom, Oli Day Zikna, or to the hands of old age, Oli Day Yisurin, Yisurin. Now, we already talked about illness. So what is Yisurin then? Meforshim explain, Yisurei HaNefesh. These are sufferings of the soul, of the emotions. Kigon Dagav Akas. We already said this last time. That's worry and anger. So you know, if you put that together with this Gemara, that Mishnah with this Gemara, this is saying, tzadikim smeichim, we're supposed to be smeichim b'yisurim. That means when something stressful or provocative or worrisome comes my way, instead of it triggering that reaction of worry or provocation or anger, no, I will rejoice in that emotional challenge that I've been faced with, not just physical ones. So I can make up ahead of time. My policy is that I'm going to be happy. And you know what? That's my choice. I'll prove it from another place. I don't know if you feel the same as I do, but when I saw this, I had learned this Gemara, but I never actually put it into focus that I'm able, not only able, I need to shift the lens and I need to change my attitude, and it has to be one of not just endurance and tolerating it, but rejoicing at it. What is it saying to Hillel and Hallel? Kuf Tavon. We've talked about it before. Sorrow v'yagon emtza. I will find, David Melech said, hardship and sorrow. First explanation that I've seen somewhere is, and we mentioned it last time, that nobody decrees or dictates what my reaction is to a challenge. Sorrow v'yagon, hardship and sorrow, emtza. If I find it to be a tzara and a yagon, then it's a tzara and a yagon. If I don't find it to be that way, then it's not. It all depends on what I find from it. That's the first shot that I've seen, but we're having another one coming. U'b'shem Hashem Ekra, I always call Hashem's name. Call out to Hashem, that's the solution we have to do. But there's another explanation. There's a pirush brought in the Tehillim Mikdash Ma'at from Maharam al-Bilda, who says, tzara v'yagon emsa. What does emsa mean? I will find. It's a metziah. Now, what does it mean when we go shopping? It was a metziah. What's a metziah? How do we define that?
Thank
you. Found something. I found a bargain. I found something valuable. I got a lot for not very much money. So this pshat says, "Rot Salomar shahat soros v'hayagonos." The hardships and the sorrows, what we call yisurei hanefesh, we just said before, based on the Mishnah in Kiddushin. In the end, hayu kemetziah be'enav. In David HaMelech's eyes, that was a metziah. He found a treasure. L'fisha bazel hoyashav b'tshuva. Because this was a catalyst for him to return to Hashem, to get closer to Hashem. V'korei el Hashem. And he called out to Hashem. Always a great idea. Always therapeutic and always helpful. Call out to Hashem. Talk to Hashem. So David HaMelech says, you know what? I don't look at it like a curse. there's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of pessimism. People say, oh, I'm plagued. I have a terrible, whatever people complain about. He says, that's not what's true. It's a metziah. Wow, I got a challenge. I got a tzara. I got something else I have to worry about. Well, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. To me, that's a metziah. I found a metziah. That's a treasure. Tzara v'yagon emtza. It's a valuable thing to me. And I just want to
move
this from another place. Mm-hmm. Yes,
if the whole pasuk is tzara v'yagon emtza, shem Hashem akar,
right.
Are you saying that the two-part process?
Well, in fact, so the question is it a two-part process? The truth is that the first three words were the end of one pasuk, and the next three words were the beginning of the next pasuk. So, but that doesn't change really anything, because we can learn psukim that way. So it could be, yes, it's a two-part process. Really good, I like that. In other words, based on the pshat we said, first the person has to view it as a metziah. Now again, I said in the beginning that what I get from this is it could be an all-inclusive perspective. It could be a preemptive view. When this comes my way, I will rejoice. I'll look at, oh, it's a metziah! It's a new challenge, fantastic. Now, I'll call out to Hashem. Thanks, Hashem, for the metziah. Thanks, I got something on sale. I got something great. I got a great bargain. Ribbon Shalom, thank you. Instead of, oh no, what am I going to do now? Another difficulty, another calamity, another disaster. No, that's not what David said. So with Shem Hashem Ekra, maybe it could be, you know, I'll call out to Hashem, I'll thank Hashem. That's
the
where it says also.
Can you help me?
We have to bless Hashem for what seems to be bad, just like we bless him for what's good. By the way, one of the reasons for that, Rishonim say, why do we say brachos on things that seem to be disastrous? Because we don't know what is a disaster. What we think is a calamity, right now it might look that way. On the surface it looks that way. It actually might be, it is the best thing for us, actually. That's what it is. It's making us grow. So he looks at it as a metziah. So it is a two-part process. First you have to decide, it's a metziah. Once I espouse that attitude, then I can actually get myself to call out Hashem. It could be a two-part process, for sure. There's a lot to look into in that. But I have a great glaring example of this that I love from the Litzko Rav. If you look in Parshas Yisro, in the first piece of the Ozmai in the Torah, it says, Vayishma Yisro. Now Yisro heard that the Kriyas Yamsuf had happened and all the other miracles happened to us when we left Mitzrayim. How many people or groups of people heard about this news? This was world headlines. Even at that time, everybody heard about this. At least people in the region heard about it. So the Ozmai in the Torah says, Gimel Shamu Shemua Achas. There were three who heard this news. Three people or three groups. But their conclusions were totally different from each other. Like day and night. Okay, let's look at the reactions. Ame Kedem. What about the nations who lived in the region, in the Middle East? They heard about it, that Hashem had dried up the Yamsuf, brought us through it. What about the people of Ammon and Moab and Canaan? You know those whole regions there? We stayed in Oz Yashir every day. What happened to them? They were petrified. They were seized with fear. They were paralyzed with trepidation. And what did they do with that trepidation and fear? Nothing. They just were afraid. And that was it. Oh, this is terrible. It's a disaster. And they're trembling and trembling. But that's the end of it. Halu, Namogu, they melted. It's how some people view world events. Forecasts and current events.
Oh, take your drink.
That's not going to get us very far. In fact, it's the opposite, almost the full opposite of what we're supposed to do. So that reaction is not how a Jew is supposed to react to disaster and to calamity, how anybody's supposed to. That's the pessimistic fear. We already said the last time that when the Vilna Gaon, in his Ksav Yad, in his manuscript, said, Ruach Yira Shehu Itzavon. When people are afraid, that is synonymous with or goes along with depression. Depression and fear, hand in hand. Sadness. So they're sad. But that's not Yiras Shemayim. That's Ammon. It's Moab. It's the nations there. It's Esav. What about another group? Amalek. Oh, what was Amalek's reaction? What did they heard about Kriyat Yamsuf. Shoma zos uval lilchom b'Yisrael. What do you think about that reaction? They came to fight against B'nai Yisrael because they can't stand that. So they're not just afraid or pessimistic or whatever else, they're angry. They're going to do something about it. Oh, yeah, they're going to come and fight against Bnei Yisrael because they want to fight against Hashem. That's how Rishonim explain it. That's why we have to eradicate their all the vestiges of them, because that's totally antithetical to Torah. So how does that relate to human beings? Sometimes people do that also. They get angry at Hashem. They lash out. Any person can do it. By the way, I heard from a Rosh Hashiva, any person who goes through life and never, ever, in his mind at least, was a little angry at what happened, was a bit perturbed at things that happened to him, that's not a normal person. Now, every person in life sometimes feels, I don't understand this. Ribbono Shel Olam, why is that fair? That's normal. It has happened to the greatest people. It happens to every person to a degree. But we don't do what Amalek did. We don't go all out attack against Hashem and against Bnei Yisrael. That's what he did when he heard about the miracle. So obviously, but that's totally the wrong reaction. Who reacted properly? Yisroh. And as I'm going to add to this, you know that in Shir Shirim it says, Al-Kain Al-Lomos Ahivucha. It refers to another person also. Who was the other person who decided to come to Judaism, monotheism and Judaism, because of this? Who was that person? That was Rachab. So we have people, individuals. By the way, individuals process the information the correct way. It doesn't mean that it's a popular way to do it, but it's the right way to do it. We have to be those people. So it says he heard about it, and he came to convert. So the Litzkorov makes an observation. The observation is, I'll read you his Lashon, Lo rak hanes tu akoveya es ha'agava alav. It's not just the miracle. It's not the current event. It's not the forecast. It's not the statistic that dictates the reaction to it. That does not determine the reaction. No. Because you know what? We own the reaction. We have ownership. We are empowered to react how we want to. So then what does dictate? What does predict the reaction? It's the person's preparation to absorb it, to metabolize it into his neshama the right way. That is what determines the outcome. So I decide, it says in the Gemara, smechin b'yisurim, I won't just tolerate it and make it through by the skin of my teeth, just above board. No, more than that. I'll be happy with it. I'll do what Yisro did. I'll take action in the positive direction. Rak Yisro, he was mechapse elokei emes. He was actively seeking Hashem all the time. Darshe Hashem mipi Moshe. He's always looking for more Torah, more Yiras Shemayim. Rak hu hotzi minisei yitzias Mitzrayim et hamaskon haru'uya. Says the Lord's Karab. He's the only one who got out the proper response, the conclusion. He brought it out to fruition from all the nisim that happened. This is literally exactly what we're supposed to do with all the things that face us, all of our challenges. Don't be the nations of the East, of the Middle East, who are just afraid and pessimistic and depressed. Don't be Amalek who gets angry and fights against Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, or rebels. Be a Yisro who uses it as a growing experience. That's what I got from this for myself. I can determine my outcomes. Listen, the Lush Rav said, Ha'achana, we need Ha'achana, we need preparation. In fact, this is so supported by magnificent Pasuk in Kohelet. You look in Kohelet's Perek Dalet, Perek Tes, Pasuk Dalet, Tes Dalet. Ki mi asher yechuvar el kol achayim. Whoever is attached to all the living, a lashon of chibor, as long as the person is alive, I'm going to show you now that the ability to choose our reactions, that's synonymous, it goes together with being alive. As long as we're alive, yesh bitachon. There is still hope. Now, there's a Kriya and a Ksiv. As there's a Talmud Yerushalmi that Rav Baruch Levi Epstein quotes here in his Torah Tamila, it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yevuchar Ksiv. Look at this pasuk. It says, Mi Asher Yechubar. You read it. Whoever will be attached to all the living, a lashon of Chibor. Being attached to the living, which means to be in this world, is Yevuchar, is a lashon of Bechira. Chubar and Vuchar. That means to be attached to the living is to be a free person who can choose what you want to do the rest of Hashem. And it says, Kol Zman, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Sha'adam Chai, as long as a person's alive, Yesh Lo Tikva. There's still hope. But look, the Pasuk Kohelet said, Yesh Bitachon. As long as we're alive, there's Bitachon. There's that type of hope. There's trust. Meis of the Tikva. So once a person passed on, there's no more hope. There's no more Bitachon. But you know what? Every second that I'm here, I can have that Bitachon. Dichsiv, but most Adam Russia, tova tikva. When a wicked person passes away, hope is gone. So, what's happening here? Look at the end of the pasuk. It says, the kelef chai who told me in Arya Hames, for the living dog, it was better than the dead lion. What on earth is happening in this pasuk? You might be familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi explains, there are two people we're talking about, and what's happening? It says, first of all, when a person's alive, even if he's a rasha, even if a person has failed, he's not doing things the right way, and he's attached to the rishayim, you know what it says? He's attached to all the living. He's even attached to those who are really not living because they're rishayim, but they're still the maisa, they're still living in this world. As long as he's attached to them, it says, they'll call a chayim, even the rishayim, call a chayim, yesh bitachon, there's still hope, maybe he'll do tshuva. Now, who are these people? There's a dog and a lion. Who's the living dog? Who's the dead one?
Talking.
We know there were two people who were Rishayim. The 3 weeks are coming up. Hopefully the 3 weeks will be great joy this year. But when the Churban happened, there were two people named Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. We know about them. Nebuchadnezzar, he is the king, he's the emperor of Babel. Nebuzaradan is his general. He was a mass murderer of Jews. The Gemara describes how he killed more and more and more Jews to make a certain puddle of blood settled down in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the blood of Zechariah. We will not do the whole story now. But it was Radon. He's similar to the worst Nazi criminals. With his own hand, he killed. The numbers are staggering how many Jews he killed. But he did tshuva. Now, wait a minute here. Is it possible for someone like that to do tshuva? Did you ever hear, were there any Nazi leaders that did tshuva? I don't know. This person, Nebuzaradan, so he's called a kelev chai. What about him as a dog? A dog means he was a servant. Chai, he was a servant to Nebuchadnezzar, who was compared to the lion, who was the master. Chai means he was alive long enough to do tshuva. Listen to Rashi's lashon in Kohelis. Kohelis perek tes pasuk daled. It says he was the Eben Rasha, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, v'nisgayer, and he converted. Literally. It calls him a ger tzedek. Shelo yikdim asto misa. Death didn't get him too fast before he did tshuva. Nebuchadnezzar, though, his master, was called a lion. Now it says, before the Churban, it says, Ola aryeh misivcho. The pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Dalet, that the lion has come up from its thicket to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was Nebuchadnezzar. So he is the lion. Meis berisho. But he's called the dead lion, Ari Hamas. Why is he called the dead lion? He's a dead lion because he died before he did tshuva. That's what it means, he's dead. Rashi asserts, Be'gehenim, Nebuchadnezzar is in Gehenim, Ba'avdo be'gan Eden, but Nebuzaradan is in Gan Eden. Gan Eden? That's right. He's in Gan Eden. He had that time. He did tshuva before he died. He ran away. He turned his life around. If such a thing could happen, it's almost inconceivable. If you look at Rav Baruch Epstein, he explains, Kozman Sha'adam Chai, as long as a person is alive, Afilu Rasha, even if he's wicked. Now, most of us, we're not Rishoyim, but we sometimes think, I'm not such a good person, I'm just a schlepper, I'm a pipsqueak, whatever it is, I'm a failure, whatever we think we are about. But he says, whatever we are, you know what? Yesh lo tikva, there's still hope. There are temporary failures also. David and his men, they were crying. Everything was fine the whole time. Everybody was alive. You keep learning about this every week. All right, it wasn't totally fine. They were led away in captivity, okay. But still, at the end, the crying was kind of disproportionate to what had happened. That's why, I'll prove it to you. We said last time that he said, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I learned a lesson. Lo yirodi bi. I will not be afraid anymore. That's what he said. It was Tehillim Chavzayin. He wrote that because of what happened in Shmuel al Perek Lamed. That was last time's discussion. But even if a person has failed, yesh lo tikva, livchar b'chaim, he can choose life, there's hope. But the pasuk uses a word that's maybe more powerful. The pasuk says the word bitachon. The Talmud Yerushalmi says it's tikva. We can choose life, we can get close to Hashem, but once a person's not here anymore, it's too late. Whatever seconds I have in the day, add up all those seconds, add up all the minutes. We can change my attitude every second. And that's because it says, Asher Yichubar. As long as the person is attached to the living, and it is read as Yichubar, attached, but it's written as Yibuchar, he will have that choice. Where does that come from? Uvacharta b'chaim. Rav Baruch Levi Epstein quotes the famous pasuk, you should choose life. Uvacharta b'chaim. But let's look at this whole pasuk. My ninth-grade Rebbe, Rabbi Katzenstein, Shlita, was fond of this pasuk. We came into ninth grade, a bunch of 13 and 14-year-olds. He had to set us straight. So I remember the way he said this pasuk. He said, you got to know this pasuk. It says, Hayidoti b'chem hayom, es ha-shamayim v'esort. I have called this testimony today in you or against you, if necessary, the heavens and the earth. Ha-chayim v'hamaves nasati lefonecha. I have placed before you life and death. You have a choice. It's like a smorgasbord. What are you going to take? Ha-bracha v'ha-klala. There could be bracha, and there could be the opposite. Chas v'shalom. Uvacharta b'chayim. But choose that life. I'm giving you a smorgasbord. You can choose whichever dish you want to. Uvacharta b'chayim. L'man tichya. So you'll live atza v'zarecha. You and your descendants. So Rav Baruch Levi Epstein says, that's what it means in Koheles. Himyasher yechubar. Whoever will be attached to all the living. Yesh b'tachon. Even if he's had failures. Kol ha'chayim. He's attached to Rishoyim. He acts that way. Yesh b'tachon. There's still hope. But it's Yevuchar. He'll have that choice as long as he's alive. It's a lesson of Bechira, or Becharta. That means every minute that I have, I can choose. We started out today saying, Tzmeichim b'Yisurim. We can choose to be happy with Yisurim. We can choose not just to make it through, not just to pass with a B or a C or a D. I can be happy with it. And when that comes my way, I'm going to prepare ahead of time. It says, Yinin Hachana. That's a the Lutzker Rav said, Yinin Hachana, the preparation is, I'm going to smile. I am going to be happy. I'm going to embrace positive thoughts and look at the positive part. And you know, when these things happen that are negative, there's always something positive in there. We've talked about this before. That's a very type of empowering thought. It also is an emancipating thought because now I feel free from a tremendous burden. That's the burden of, I don't know how I'm going to react when this happens. I don't know how I'm going to react. The answer is, I am going to do the best I can to be happy. That's what I'm going to do. Because I have a right to do that, and I need to do that. Because I have Bechira. And I want to mention, as we're moving back now, as we're closing today, we're also getting ready to continue in the text of the Chofetz Chaim and Mirz Hashem, with a very little bit left to talk about David and Siklag. But one of the greatest trepidations and anxieties people have is we're afraid of people. And that depresses us also. What will I do regarding my relationship, my conflict with this person? Often it's relatives. It could be employees or friends, whoever else it is. It says in Parshas Devarim, Lo saguru mipnei ish. Don't be afraid of anybody. Ki amishpat lelukim hu. Justice belongs to Hashem. Whatever happens in the world, I am not the one who does things, who really accomplishes things. It's coming from Hashem. As Rashi explains, it's brought from another place. Yehemo roi alecha. Hashem says, be afraid of me, Hashem says. You should be in awe of me. Lo marabas v'adam. Don't be afraid of human beings. That's not what's supposed to make you afraid. And to just look at the words of the Chizkuni, this is talking to judges, but the concept applies to every single person. Ein lo l'dayan lo gor mipnei ish. No judge, no person should be afraid of anybody else. Don't be afraid. Ki ein l'bal din lisno hadayan. Because what would a judge be afraid of, by the way? He's afraid of the litigant. Somebody's going to be upset at him if the judge declared him guilty or obligated to pay. That litigant, that disputant, has no right to hate, to resent the judge. He punishes him. Because the judge can respond to that disputant. Hashem is the one who made you obligated. The justice belongs to Hashem. Now, how does this apply to us? I'll tell you why. Because if we do the best we can, and someone is still upset at me, I'm doing the best I can. Or even if I didn't do the best I can, but I'm going to try from now on. And I apologize. Many times we do the best we can, and people are still upset at us. If we did that, like David took everybody with him, and now we're swinging back for continuity for the next time we meet Hashem, back into the text of the Prophet. David had no choice but to go. And therefore, when he came back and people were upset at him, he has to take stock of the fact he did the best he could. So there's no reason to have the anxiety. That was one of his anxieties. They're all going to be angry at me. But it says right here, no, don't be afraid of people being angry at me. I'm doing the best I can. Today, Mr. Shem, we can take with us, what I take out of this is that this is the all-encompassing view of how to deal with challenges, and that's to be sameach. I am allowed to decide. I have ownership of my choices. My choice is, I'll consider it a metziah. I can be sameach v'yisurim. I'm safe. I am immune. I'm safe from depression. I can do my best. I'm immune to any thoughts of anxiety because I can work on those. And if they come my way, and it might be every day, 10 times a day, I might have to work on it. 100 times a day, I will keep doing my best. Shemir Tashem will continue next time. We're going to go back to talk about David. Any questions? Yes.
So, yesterday, Rabbi Goldman, on the life of Bitachon, he said that he quoted, was it the Gra, the Gaon HaGaon? Was that he quoted? I'm not sure. No, it was Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He quoted the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that says, Sarah.
Yeah,
maybe
someone's
going to
talk about that. Yeah.
So, I feel like it ties into Sarah v'yagon emta.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah is like Mitzrayim.
Yeah, it's the same
and
word.
And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh that he quoted was about Mitzrayim, like the Yidden that went down with Yaakov to Mitzrayim, the Shibud Mitzrayim, the harshness of the Galus Mitzrayim didn't start.
Right.
With Yaakov, you know, until that first door was answered, because they were Mekabel Yisur and Be'ava. They had Bitachon to go down with Yaakov. You know.
I was planning, Mr. Shem, to talk about the Or HaChaim next time. Is that okay if I focus on it next time?
Yeah, but
no,
what was
but it's very,
what
very
was
important.
The Lashon?
I have to get it in front of me, but it says, well, keep, when you accept Yisurim,
yeah.
So what was the Lashon?
It's like Mita Keneged Mita. Like
right.
If you accept the Yisur and then
right.
From Hashem, if you accept it, the Ava, then Hashem doesn't give you the harshness.
Right, you could actually become exempt. You could be exempted from that Tzara that was decreed if you ahead of time accept it. Now, Ava and Simcha are very related. They're of the same Midos. Ava and Simcha, that the emotion of Simcha is a demonstration of Ava Hashem. And that's all it is, like you said also. You can actually, you might not have to actually go through the ordeal if you have this attitude to begin with. This is a preemptive attitude.
So that you see at the time is really to have the gula.
Right.
So it's like.
So they could have prevented if they would accept it. Whoever accepted it that way was able to not have to suffer. That's correct. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. And have a wonderful day.